Philly, we have a Chris Go Cam. They get Cam with a K, by the way, Cam Mercery. And you got Mr. Cody James Queen. This is second down. Now, Christian. You know I love you. But before we even get into it, Christian, what happened?
I was going to say, let's just talk about the reason why I'm here and you're here. I didn't know this morning what time we would be getting done. And so I just wanted to make sure we had a capable show host, and obviously you are. And so I was like, let's just get Ben in there to host second down today, because I don't know what kind of mood I'm going to be in. There might have been some champagne popped afterwards. But, yeah, no, Rich and I did the challenge this morning, and it went about how most people expected it would. The golf pro smoke checked the non-golf pro. So, yeah, here we are. I'm just sitting here eating my humble pie.
Hold on. But it's the thing, though, Christian. Like, okay, now – I appreciate your competitive drive. Let's just put that out there, right? Was he coaching you during? Like, oh, man, if you would have – yeah. did he do stuff like that?
Not particularly, because I wasn't playing bad. He just was playing out of his mind. I think Cody – yeah, Cody's got the scorecard right there. Rich shot a 79 today.
79, dude.
I've never broken 80 in my life. I wasn't prepared for the level of consistency this man had. I mean, Ben, you know when you're watching a basketball game, Cam, you know this too, you're watching a basketball game and you know in the first quarter, like, which team's going to win because they won't miss a shot. Like,
yeah.
The other team's playing pretty well, and then they'll play perfect defense, but the other team just doesn't miss. That was Rich. I kept waiting for him to make a mistake all day, and he didn't make a mistake.
So you called him on his good day. Like, think about this. I mean,
I think every day is his good day.
I am not an avid golfer. I don't golf hardly ever. I mean, I treat golf like I treat liver. I can't remember last time I played golf. Can't remember last time I ate liver. But, Christian, I can commend you for going out there. Because let's face it, Christian, as an athlete, did this happen? His first shot, you go, uh-oh. Like, because you can tell, like, when you doing it, you know, you're doing something competitive, you can tell from the opening swing, like, Rich, nice. Was it his driver? Was it his putting? Like, what?
It was all of it.
All of it, yeah.
The driver wasn't like anything to write home about, except for the fact that it was always in the middle of the fairway. Did he miss some greens? Sure, but when he missed the greens, he was like 3 or 4 feet off the green, and the chipping and putting was impeccable, and mine wasn't. I mean, and to be fair, I'm not a morning person, and Rich had my butt out there at 8:30 in the morning, which
he was already all warmed up and probably played around.
I knew I was in trouble when I pulled up and I saw Rich with a Mizuno shirt like tucked in to his FootJoy shorts with his sponsored out shoes like on the putting green as I was pulling in. I was like, oh, he's already warm. And I just went out there. My first swing of the day was the first drive. And so, you know, that's how it goes. But I told him, Ben, you know, we're going to get out there, go to a park, and just do some one-on-ones, some route running. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm about to say, man, you got to be able to get some kickback, man. I mean, the thing is, look, if you would have beat Rich, I mean, number one, Rich couldn't come on the show no more. He couldn't come on Three and Out no more because we're going to be like, you know, what is that? But he also let you know that you just got to play more golf too, right? Like, you don't get a chance to play as much. Rich plays what, every day?
Well, he came back in the back nine. So he was doing extremely well in the back nine, but the front nine got him.
I ran out of holes. You know what got me was the ninth hole. We were doing match play, so basically whoever won the hole got a point. And if Rich was up three and I won a hole, it took him to a 2-point lead, right? We were going into the ninth hole, and it was a par three. I hit a pretty good shot, but my pitch was really good, and I had like a 2 or 3 foot putt. And if I had hit the putt, I would have won that hole and gone into the back nine, only down two, choked, missed the putt.
Listen. If there's a guy on YouTube, right? I don't know who he is, right? He does all these memes, like he do it with like, you know, CVS versus Walgreens or Popeyes versus like KFC. It's a part of him that he's playing Madden with his homie, and he's killing his homie, right? He goes, you know what? I'm done. Let's go out there and play for real. And when they get out there on the court for real, his friend like, dude, you do not play 2K for real. That's what happened, Christian. Like, you nice. Christian, when it come to everybody, it come between me, you, Cam, and Cody, you would have smoked dog nuts. Like, right? But God knew our limitations. Like, you do not go against a golf pro because this dude, I mean, he plays golf every day. Cam, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. Unless I know that I'm going to beat you, I'm not going out there. Like, I got to know. I'll challenge any one of my nephews to anything because I'm going to cheat them. They're not going to beat me. But my nephew now – it's big, right? So one time he did like a little move on me. He like slapped me on my shoulder. I'm like, boy, that ain't nothing. I went in the bathroom and I saw my shoulder coming out. So I told my brother, I gotta go, man. I gotta do something with radio. I could not move my right shoulder. So he's out. He's 18 now. I'm not messing with him. And his name is Christian too. You done met him before. But see, man, listen, I commend you. Don't listen, Christian, you know what it is. You're gonna have to go out there again. You can't let it in like this. Just to see how much your game has come between now
it and. It felt like I was an FCS school and he was Alabama. Like, it's just, it's what it felt like. Like, you have to tell your players that, like, we're going out there. If we execute, if we follow the game plan, you listen to everything we tell you to do, we can win this football game. That's how I went out there, and it just reality.
I'm going to show you a text during the break. Kevin and I were messaging during the match, see how it was going. And my exact text was, it's like Alabama versus Alabama State.
Man, why you gotta do that to Alabama State like that?
That's the comparison.
At the end of the day, when y'all said, Rich shot a 79, like, I'm happy that y'all told me that's good. Because when y'all said, I'm like, is that good? Like, I don't know 79.
Like, that's absurd,
and
though.
He said it was a bad day.
That's absurd. You know
what I'm saying? When y'all said 79, I was going to be like, what is this? Listen. I know bowling scores. I know in bowling, I want to break 100. I don't want to be under 100. The closer you get to 200, you might have balled that day, right? No gutter balls. When it comes to golf, it's such a humbling sport because you can have a great shot, and the next shot, you're looking for your ball, right? It's so humbling. But, Christian, once again, this is what I can – it only gets real, Christian, when you step out there on the green. Christian, like, I got myself into this. All I had to do – but I appreciate it, Christian, man. You went out there and went up against him, man. Rich, you made – listen, Rich got to go home and tell his – I don't know if Rich has grandkids. I hope he does.
He's got a lot.
He got to tell his grandkids. I was out there with a – Rich, listen, Rich played golf today with a young man born in the 90s. Nowhere did Rich ever – Rich children and grandchildren are not playing with him. They're not doing it.
I think Rich was eligible for the Champions Tour before I was born.
And I think you made this his day, too. I know he's at home hanging out with Vicky saying, you know, I still got it in me, Vic. I still got it
but
in me.
But he does.
Girl, you know?
He does. If he says that, he absolutely does. Like, if we ever played in a tournament for some prizes, Rich is like my first pick. Dude is just so consistent.
Yeah, he's really good. He had a bad day. Man,
but you know what it was? It was the same as me saying, I'm going to play Cam in basketball. Like, it's not going to go
Cam,
well.
You know, played your father or anything as of late?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, he won't get out there with me no more.
Oh, so now, once he realized that you really know how to jump, you know, you really no. Once you know how to defend him, he like, I ain't playing no more. He'll start saying stuff to you, son. Don't be hitting me like that. I'm your daddy. Respect me. What?
Yeah.
You used to push me all over the place, man.
Yeah, like growing up, he used to beat me up, and then I got a lot better. He wouldn't go out there no more.
I'm curious.
Like, one day he got mad. He put the ball at my face.
Did y'all's dads ever hit you with the? Did your dads ever hit you with the? By the time you can beat me, you won't want to? Because that's what my dad used to always hit me with.
That old nonsense. Yeah, that old I will say, though, man, this was back when I first went to college, right before I went to college. We called it the young boys versus sweatpants. My dad out there here, all his friends got on sweatpants tucked in. We all out there, man, looking nice.
With New Balances on?
They killed us. The reason why they beat us, right, because my brother wanted to guard my daddy. My daddy got a nice jumper. He can't jump or anything. And, you know, they had a point guard that only cared about assisting. He didn't care about scoring. And we got to arguing with each other. They beat us. We was looking fly, but we got beat. So, I mean, look, moral to the story is this. Just because you're young don't mean you're better. That just means, you know, your body ain't started going through the aches and pains. But golf, it's not like any other sport. It's about you know, muscle memory, like the structural process.
Oh, it's all in your head. It's all in your head. But, Ben, I have an important question because you said all the old guys were out there in sweatpants. Cam, I'm curious to get your answer on this as well. Cody, you can jump in too. How many white Nike Monarch 4s were out there on their feet? Because I got a feeling like they were all wearing them.
Yeah. Hey.
My stepfather, how many of those bad boys were out there? Oh, yeah. My stepfather didn't come around until later, so his, like, his, like, athletic days, he's, like, way older. Was, like, way, way earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, he loves those shoes. Oh, dude, those are his shoes.
No.
So my pop was, like, a high school basketball legend. And now he'll hype it up whenever I was, like, a little younger, saying, because, you know, he is old. He is, like, pretty old now. He is retired. He's about to be in the 70s. And but by the time I came around, he was like already old. And he's like, well, back in my day, you know, I could just cross you up now. I'm like 40 and all that stuff. That's it.
You just saw the Air Kevin Thomases. Those are Air
Kevin. Kevin wears the New Balances. He's got a contract.
That's the Nike version of the New Balance. If you took that Nike check and replace it with a big blue end, that's the same shoe.
It is.
My pops is obsessed with white Under Armours now. He's an Under Armour craze fanatic now. So Under Armour's the new dad thing, apparently.
Oh, yeah. The only thing those shoes are good for is cutting the grass and playing kickball. You should not be out there doing no basketball in it. But that's cool. But listen, at the end of the day, Christian, man, I commend you, man, because that's what it's supposed to be. Keep challenging. I don't even know what generation Rich is in.
I think Rich is actually a boomer.
He's an actual boomer, yep.
Rich, remember when TV used to go off? They'll go, oh,
dude. And Rich was a DJ in the 70s in Chicago, dude.
No, Ben, we had a story about Rich taking a date to an Elton John concert.
Oh, yes.
That's all you need to know about a date in his younger days.
Elton John used to perform at bars. Like, he ain't even Elton John yet. Christian, I commend you. But you're the reason why I'm not going back out there. Like, I'm not doing it because what? No cameras, ain't nothing go viral. Nope.
Oh, Cody's got plenty of viral moments.
I'm about to make a video. Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought nothing was gonna go viral. I'm just saying.
But I don't know if the content is able to be posted on social media though, because I think it might violate some standards. Because what Rich did to me is illegal in most countries.
Assault.
That was bad.
Definitely assault.
That was bad.
I commend you, man. I mean, Cam, Cody, Christian, this is Second Down. I am Ben Troop. Rich, wherever you are, may God bless you. But we coming for you on, you know, this Second Down on Southern Pick 10 Radio Network. We'll be right back. Filling in with, even though Christian is right there, Cam Ursary, as well as Cody James Queen. And look, I mean, I know we were talking a little bit last segment about, you know, old versus new, young versus old, age before beauty, whatever you want to call it. But Cam, been a little while since I talked to you, and you saw who them boys from the ATL shout of Yale got at number 4. I know you saw it, but I want to talk about something. I mean, when you talk about Trevor Lawrence, when you talk about Zach Wilson, when you talk about Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, are we experiencing a new wave of faces that could potentially become the faces of the NFL as well as their position? And I'm not talking about 3 years down the road, maybe 2 years. Could we talk about this 2021 draft being the new faces of the NFL?
Possibly. Trevor Lawrence is already a face of a franchise already. He's already that cornerstone, that guy that they look upon and say, okay, he's our face. He's our guy for the next up and coming years. Then Kyle Pitts, I think he's somebody that could be like that. Devontae Smith, he has star power. Ja'Marr Chase, so you could say they can make an immediate impact, all of them, this year. I think every single last one of the guys you just named will have some immediate impact this year, get a lot of wins, immediate impact in the community and for the franchise as far as on the field.
Now, Cody, I mean, it used to be a time where to be a face of a franchise, or the face of the league, because Trevor Lawrence already the face of the franchise. You had to be an All-Pro. You had to be an MVP candidate. You had to be in the Super Bowl. You had to have a moment. These guys now, we've known about them so long. I mean, Trevor Lawrence – I mean, somebody did a stat. When Trevor Lawrence loses a game in the regular season, this will be the first time he's lost a regular season game ever. He never lost in high school, never lost a regular season game at Clemson. But yet he's already a super-duper star. And I say that to say this. When you talk about endorsements, he's already doing them. When you talk about a guy like Devonta Smith, he's already a headliner, you know, even though he's going to Philly. Kyle Pitts was at the Hawks game being recognized, and he was getting ready to do the Gator Chomp and had to remember, I'm with the Falcons now. When you talk about just the fanfare, just the blockbuster type, you know, limelight type, you know, show-stopping type persona that these guys have, are they changing the way we look at superstars and saying we carving our own lane, we don't got to do it the way the, quote, older guys had to do it?
Oh, it's completely changed the way the generations have really changed in the past 5 years. It's kind of insane just how everything has really become, and the way the movement became with them trying to get monetized and all that stuff. So if you were asking earlier who you think the up and coming next guy and all that stuff is going to be super popular. I think it's, I've said this a million times, I love him, Terrence Marshall Jr. Terrence Marshall Jr., not only what I say for his play on the field, but he's an extremely great streamer. You know, he plays Madden quite a bit. He's really, actually, really, really good at freaking streaming Madden. He's like a really good player at Madden. So on top of that, you know, he's just going to really relate to the younger kids and everything. So Terrence Marshall Jr. to mine is, but no, it's completely different from what you're saying. Like, this generation, they're going to do it way different from what the old guys did. It, like, Ben, no offense, but they're completely different from whenever you guys got drafted compared to now.
There wasn't Twitter when Ben got drafted, though.
Yeah, I know.
I am. This is what made me officially old. So, University of Florida reached out to me. They said, hey, man, Ben, we think Kyle's going to go real high. You want to do the voiceover? I go, yeah.
On your flip phone, right?
They said, no. They said, hey, Ben, you got to college in 2000, right? I'm like, yeah. They said, yeah, Kyle Pitts was born in 2000. What? So at the end of the day, and I'm going to throw it to Christian. And we talk about Trevor. We talk about Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. They get the notoriety because of what they play and where they went. I think the most intriguing player in this draft is Najee Harris. If you have not seen Road to the Pros with Najee Harris threw a draft party at the homeless shelter that he grew up in for the kids that are currently there. He is from the Bay. He's already getting tutored by Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode, and he just seems to be ahead of his time. I just think, you know, Christian, Terrence Marshall's and Kyle Pitts and all these – we're going to look back on and say, this is a dude that understands life. He just happened to be a hell of a football player.
Yeah, I think a lot of it – right. A lot of it, I think, has to do with social media and the fact that people have realized that there is actually power to it, right? For a long time, social media was just kind of viewed as something fun that you do on the side to keep track of people. You watch funny videos on it. You share stuff with other people. But there is a massive amount of money that goes into social media, especially if you can harness it. And it's not just in the big sports in the United States, Ben. It's in – I think it's really – the defining force as to why we've seen such growth inside of women's sports, right? The English Premier League, the women's league over there has seen huge boosts in terms of their views. You look over here in the United States, the WNBA, it's coming up, I believe, on its 25th anniversary, and it has more eyes on it right now than it ever has before. It's because these companies, and make no mistake about it, teams are companies, have finally gotten wise to the fact that we don't just have to base our product off of cable views, right? That's for the longest time was, is it good if it has cable views? Like that's how you defined it. Now it's, I could have 8 women on my team and the total number of followers they have is 10 million people. And so anytime they're wearing my uniform, they're putting out a new sweatshirt of mine on there, that is reaching out to 10 million different people, right? So I think that has a lot to do with kind of what Cody was saying is, these guys are harnessing a power that you didn't even have a chance to harness, Ben. You didn't have a chance to stream video games and post things on Facebook and have your own YouTube channel. It wasn't around when you were in the league. But at the same time, there's usually going to be about a decade span where there's going to be like in the early 90s where everyone was saying, oh, the internet's this fad. It's never going to work out. You're never going to be able to make money on it. What's this whole internet thing with the emails and all that stuff? There's always going to be that like decade stretch where it takes people wrapping their mind around it and figuring out how to monetize it. But like you said, Kyle Pitts was born in 2000. Kyle Pitts has never not known what a cell phone is. He's always had the internet. Video games have always been a part of their lives, right? So they understand that. And I think that's a big reason behind what you're seeing. Flip side of that, I don't care if Trevor Lawrence was drafted in 2001 or 1971. That dude was going to be a superstar just kind of based off of his trajectory coming out of high school and people following him. He was going to be a superstar. But yeah, some of the other guys, Najee Harris, I think is going to be a bona fide superstar on and off the field. Because if you listen to him, Ben, he said he didn't go to Alabama because it was some illustrious college. He went there as a business decision. He went there because he knows Nick Saban is in the business of putting guys in the NFL, and nobody was going to make him better than going to Alabama. So yeah, I think for a long time, we've just kind of viewed college players and draft picks as rookies, right? They're guys that we draft for our team that are supposed to make our team better. Now we're starting to see them for what they are, which is
bona fide A-list celebrities as soon as they step on the field.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I just think that what happens is, too, we are paying homage to these guys now and not trying to find a way to talk about, oh, back in my day, I used to do this, I used to do that. Trevor Lawrence knows he's good, and he needs that confidence. Travis Etienne is the most humble, silent superstar I've ever come across. I don't think I've ever heard him talk. Najee Harris is about as charismatic as it gets. Ja'Marr Chase is going to hurt people. I'm sorry, people, but the best receiver in the draft is Ja'Marr Chase. He didn't play in 2020 because he was 19 and bald, and because of college regulations, you know, I had to sit out another year. Devonta Smith is going to show why size does not matter. Jaylen Waddle, it's just so many storylines, man. I'm really, really looking forward. They're going to carve their own new wave out, and they ain't worrying about what nobody else is saying because, like I said, I just think that the fact that the Falcons took a tight end, regardless if it's Kyle Pitts or not, that's how good of a player he is. And everybody, good job, Terry Fontenot. Nobody batted an eye. I just think that it's a changing of the guard. I'm looking forward to seeing how these guys pan out. It will not be the first rounders that's going to end up being the best players in this draft. It never usually is. It's rounds 4 through 7. But all these guys are going to benefit. I'm looking forward to it. I just think that when you start talking about the new wave of superstar, they 6'6", long hair. They 6'6", can run 4.4s. You got linebackers, 6'4", can run 4. I'm telling you, what we're seeing now, these boys going to take over the league really, really quickly, going to big-time programs. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to see it all happen. And I'm happy for them. Ain't no hate over here at all. I hope every last one of them succeed, even though that's not going to happen. But – at the end of the day, man, I'm just happy to see them boys' dreams come true. I am being true. This is second down. That is Cody Jane Queens in the far left. That is Christian Gokel in the top left. You got Cam with a K in the top right. I am being true. You know, filling in for that homie Christian Gokel. He will be running the rest of his show on his show. But when we come back, I don't know what we're going to be talking about. But you better not leave because we got something to put in your ear. Second down, Southern Pictures Radio Network.
Welcome back to Second Down right here on ESPN Radio. We, of course, presented to you by The Uniform Source. A big thank you to Ben Troop for hanging out the past couple of segments. Just didn't know.
All downhill from now.
Yeah, I just didn't know how long it was going to take for Rich to get done kicking my butt out there on the golf course. But here we are. We settled the debate. I guess Rich wins officially our Masters pool. So congratulations to Rich Styles. It was over from the jump there, but we do have a lot more to dive into here on Second Down. Cam, I don't really know where your opinion lies on the designated hitter in baseball. I know most people of the younger generations like the DH because it just gets pitchers out of the batter's box, and it makes the games a little bit smoother, I guess would be the best way, because you don't have to sub, pinch hit, double switch, all that. But last night, Waskar Ynoa showed why the DH, specifically the universal DH, is lame and it should never come into existence, as he hits a grand slam.
Boom!
Last night, as the Braves win 6-1. I mean, starting pitcher only gives up one run, zero earned runs, hits a grand slam. It's his second home run of the season. All other pitchers in Major League Baseball have two home runs combined, including one by Shohei Ohtani from the Angels. He's the first pitcher in Atlanta franchise history to homer in back-to-back games. And he has the longest of the 13 Grand Slams hit by pitchers since 2006 at 427-foot bomb, Cam. I mean, Waskar Ynoa and the Atlanta Braves pitching really doing damage to the whole argument that pitchers can't hit.
Clearly doing damage that pitchers can't hit, but I still would, as far as the DH thing, every position still matters. That's how I look. If it's a position in baseball, if it's a position in any sport, it matters. But, I mean, he's showing pitchers can't hit. I believe if you do have to pitch, you should hit then. The DH, yeah, it matters, but that's just me personally. If you could go out there and pitch whatever it is, 50 to 100 pitches, you need to go out there and hit the ball. There doesn't need to be a designated hitter to come substitute or anything like that. But, you know, it's neither here or there.
You play the same rules as everybody else does when they're kids. You don't want no kid just coming up there designated hitting for you. If you're throwing the heaters, You want the smoke too, dude.
Yeah.
Don't back away from the smoke. You know what I mean? Even in kickball, you know what I mean? Ain't nobody designating kicking from me. I'm getting it.
Especially if you have the unwritten rules of baseball where it's like, if you hit this guy, we're coming back and hitting you. Well, it's like, if you're the pitcher and you're the one doing the hitting, or I mean, like the actual like hitting somebody with the baseball, you should have to stand in the batter's box too.
Yes, sir.
You shouldn't just get to go hide in the dugout the entire time. But I have always kind of liked that the different feels around baseball, right? Because you have none of the stadiums are the same, and so every different park you go to, it's a different dynamic to it.
Yeah.
Right? You used to for a long time. There used to be the ones that were still in football stadiums, like in Miami and Oakland, that were in football stadiums. And so, like, sometimes you'd have, like, you could see where the stripes were before. You'd have, I forget which park it was in. I want to say it was in Houston, where there was literally, like, a angled up hill at the very end of center field, and it had, like, flags in it. And so it's like, it wasn't a home run if you hit it there. It was just, like, a double, and you had, like, the – center fielder still had to go get the baseball. So there's just nothing set in stone. You have the Green Monster in Boston, right? Just like there's nothing set in stone. And then you had the two different leagues, the AL obviously with a designated hitter, National League with no designated hitter. And then when they played each other, if you're in the NL park, I don't care if you haven't hit in 3 years, pitcher. You better get out there and start swinging that bat. But it does also lend to the fact that like if there's not a DH, David Ortiz probably isn't a Hall of Famer.
Oh, my man.
Right? Like, it's
over
just
here.
Because he.
Over here.
He was a very okay defender. Very okay defender, but obviously an amazing hitter. But with the values around baseball, specifically when he was coming towards the end of his career, when the Red Sox won the World Series, is he good enough as a value with his offense versus his defense to stay in as a position player over someone else? So I've always loved that about baseball, that there are two different leagues with two different sets of rules and all the different stadiums where none of the fields are the same. I really like that about baseball. So I'm not inherently against the designated hitter in the AL, but I think the NL should keep it the way it is. It doesn't seem like going forward that's going to be the case. I think it's lame. I wish they would get away with the runner on second base in extras. I wish they would get away with these seven-inning doubleheaders. I understood it last year. Don't know really why it's sticking around this year, but it is. But again, Waskar Ynoa with the monster grand slam. Ronald Acuna Jr. with another home run last night. And just easy power, man.
Tonight. Max Fried.
He's back. Yeah.
All right, let's see, dude. Let's see if he got some rest and let's see what's going. What do you think, dude? What do you think about him?
I'm holding my breath on that one because you really need him to be good. Because right now it's Waskar Ynoa and you're just kind of throwing your hands up and saying, well, we hope it works out every time you go out there. Because Charlie Morton's got a 5 ERA. Drew Smiley's getting bombed right now. Bryce Wilson has not been the same Bryce Wilson from last year, and you don't know when Mike Soroka is going to be back. So it's tough right now. You really need Max Fried to come back. You are currently a game and a half out of first place in the division. The Braves 13-16 on the year. Nationals 12-13. They're just a half game behind the Philadelphia Phillies, who lead the NL East at 15-15. But last night, good. But if you don't have your pitcher hitting a grand slam,
yep,
then you probably only scoring two runs, and you need Waskar Ynoa to come in there and shut it down. And you have Freddie Freeman and Marcell Ozuna going to combined 0-for-9 right there in the middle of your order. So not overly rosy all night. You had a couple of highlights from your pitcher. Outside of that, kind of a rough night for the Atlanta Braves. But again, they go again tonight against the Washington Nationals. As Cody mentioned, Max Fried back. They recalled him off of the injured list. He'll get the start tonight for the Atlanta Braves as they have their first pitch at 7:05. He'll go up against Eric Feedy. He's currently sitting at a 4.43 ERA. Anybody care to hazard a guess what Max Fried's ERA is right now following his three starts?
Oh, let me see. A 1-something.
No. He was bad.
Oh.
6.
11.45.
Oh, it's the opposite way.
Fried. Okay. 11 innings pitched. He had just 15 strikeouts in those 11 innings. Gave up 5 walks as well as 3 home runs. So hopefully some time off for Max Fried was just what he needed, and we get to see more of the 2020 version of who was presumably the Braves' ace.
Supposed to be the dude,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was supposed to be the ace before the season started. So hopefully we get a little bit better version of Max Fried. Big show coming up a little bit later on 3 and Out. 3 o'clock, Ernest Jones, former Ware County standout, University of South Carolina. He was the third-round pick for the Los Angeles Rams. He's going to hop on the show with us. Also going to catch up with Matt Smith from SouthernPigskin.com. He's got his SEC post-spring reset to look at. And then Jamin Davis out of Long County. He was the first-round pick of the Washington football team, the linebacker there, also played at Kentucky. He'll jump on the show with us today at 5 o'clock. So a big show coming up today on 3 and Out. You don't want to miss any of it. If you do miss any portion of the show, though, you can always check us out on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. But I did want to run over a few things that we're going to jump into on 3 and Out while I have you guys here, Cam. Tom Brady said a couple of days ago that he would be willing to trade in two of his Super Bowls, which he's got plenty of them, trade in two of his Super Bowls for a perfect season. And I get where he's at, where he's like, you know, maybe that fourth Super Bowl while I was with the fourth and you look, you have the fourth and the sixth ones while I was with the Patriots to give me that perfect season. That's what he kind of wants to wrap up his career. I wanted to ask you guys, because Cody, you've had championships with your teams. We really haven't had championships with ours. Cam, what would you be willing to give up, whether it's like you can't talk to this family member for the rest of your life, or you can't eat this food, or you can't listen to this music for the rest of your life? What would you be willing to give up for a championship from your favorite team, whether it's a World Series, whether it's a Super Bowl, whether it's a national championship, whether it's the NBA Finals title? What would you be willing to give up for your favorite team to win a championship?
The finals that the Lakers just won in the bubble, I would give that up for the Falcons to win a Super Bowl easily. I would give that up.
I don't know how much I value that one, Cody. Because
what'd you say?
He said the Lakers championship this past year. I don't know. I mean, he's a Lakers fan, but I mean, like, it's LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Like, you don't have
of course they were
a million other
it.
Ones like you aren't the Yankees or
exactly,
something.
Exactly. I could give up one.
No,
nah,
you're not giving up much.
No, I don't want you to give up a championship for another championship. I want to know is, like, something you would give up. Like, what if I told you you had to wear wired headphones for the rest of your life for a championship?
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
All right, hang on.
Like, no more AirPods. Oh, yeah.
25% of your shoe collection gone.
No.
Oh,
nah. Really?
I'd trade my firstborn for another Super Bowl with the Broncos.
Sorry,
go ahead, take him. I got a spare, dude. Whatever. We all right. I'll take a fourth Super Bowl. Go ahead.
I think I say this with like a lot of truth, like 100% certainty. I would give up beef products, period, for a championship.
Ooh, dang, dude. I don't know.
Steak, burgers, tacos. Mm.
What?
I'm a red blood American, so all I can't be doing all that. Boy.
I can still eat.
We
pork,
a cattle country.
So
you
know? I can still have barbecue, yeah. And I can still have chicken, and I'd be okay. I'd still have bacon, but I think I'd be willing to give up beef products.
Oh no!
For a championship,
is this what does the people? You know, is this
steaks
what not having championships do to people? Like, dang, man,
it does a lot.
That's
now.
A little extreme. You know, giving up your firstborn, I understand, but
we're
giving up beef products,
we're just craving one championship from Georgia Falcons, and my life would be set. The rest of my life would be set.
I just need one. Like Georgia, and honestly, if I'm being like 1,000% honest, it's Georgia. Like I
listen to you guys.
Like Georgia national championship
gets more depressing the more it goes on. It's
Cody, literally the one championship I have witnessed in my life, I can barely remember because I was 3 years old.
I remember ours vividly.
Well, yeah, because it was like 5 years ago.
And the ones in the 90s, I was young child. I was not very young, but
plenty to choose 12? From. I have 1995. I got a whole catalog of blown championships.
I'm the old guy, I was like seven, dude, when that was going on. Yes.
You know it's bad to be a Falcons fan when, like, other NFL teams don't even – like, the Saints do, obviously, because the Saints hate the Falcons. But, like, 30 other NFL franchises don't even hate you. They're just like, are you guys okay? Like, you need anything? You need some water? You need me to call anybody? You want me to bring you some food? Like, are you guys okay?
Like, we know you get 10 wins, but
– Browns fans are like – you good? What do you need, man? I'm here if you need to talk. Like, that's how they treat Falcons fans. Georgia fans, everyone hates Georgia fans. Like, I'm a Georgia fan, and I understand that everyone loathes us because what are we every year? We're the preseason
every
national championship.
We're
going to
win
baby.
A national championship.
Yeah.
Preseason top three.
Yeah, preseason national champs 4-0, every baby. Year. Yeah, and people are like, you guys are going to lose four games. We're like, no, preseason national champs, and then we lose four games. We're like, dang it.
I mean, we've had some not success in the Super Bowl. You know, we went to like 8 and we lost.
Cody, shut the hell up.
Dude, not a good ratio, dude.
At least you like, have some.
We won 3.
Falcons have been to 2 Super Bowls.
3 out of 8, dude. That's not very good.
No. The Falcons have been to 2 Super Bowls, lost once to your Broncos.
Yeah, you guys got beat
and
down.
And had the greatest comeback of all time in any sport ever happen against them. Not to be outdone a couple years later by Alabama with a comeback against Georgia.
You got beat by two greats, John Elway and Tom Brady.
It happened the next year. That's the heartbreak.
John Elway played in that game. I think we got
Terrell Davis.
I think we got beat by Terrell Davis.
He got 2,000 yards that season. Yeah. I was telling you guys, they're like, oh, really? No. I was like, dude, I'll look it up right now. And I looked it up. He had 2,000 yards that season.
He's a 2,000-yard rusher. Terrell Davis
2,000 yards.
So, Cody, you have plenty of championships. But, like, what would you be like, I can live without this for the rest of my life?
Like being like Super Bowl. Being, like, dead serious? Oh, shoes.
Just shoeless for the rest of your
life? I don't like
shoes
that much anyway, so no shoes.
You better pick a warm climate to live in.
Here. Yeah. It's nice and warm here.
I don't know, man. I've seen some of
the blacktop, though. Oof.
Yeah, the blacktop's bad. Oof. Your feet are going
to
melt.
Thank goodness I'm a disabled veteran. I get the close parking.
Yeah, some – nice. The broken glass and stuff is stuff I'd be worried about. You don't know where that ball came from.
I walked barefoot in the Middle East in a war zone.
That's probably cleaner.
I'm all right, dude.
That's probably cleaner than a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, there's no like crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, there's no like
they don't have Walmart.
There's no like crusty, dried up White Claw juice in the middle of Afghanistan.
Maybe I absorb it and become a superhuman.
Probably a villain if I had to imagine. If you get your superpowers from a Walmart parking lot, probably a villain.
A Southeast Georgia Walmart parking lot.
And it's like we did have somebody tweet in. They're like, come on, Atlanta United. I love Atlanta United. I love Atlanta United. I really do. It doesn't count in terms of championships.
Talking about real things. They're folks.
I love soccer. I watch English Premier League. I watch the Bundesliga. Love soccer.
Yeah, you will. You like have it on the computer screen over here. I'm like,
love soccer.
Why would you show sometimes he'll have it up? I'm like, okay. Yeah,
love soccer. But Atlanta United in the MLS? I think it's got to be like one of the big four, and we don't have one of the four in terms of hockey. So
bring back the Thrashers, baby.
I'll put big four in college. It's got to be one of those. It's got to be NFL, NBA. And honestly, Atlanta really doesn't care about the NBA if we're being 1,000% honest. Like, that's the lowest on the totem pole. Like, if you ask Atlanta sports fans what they would want, like power rank, a World Series, a Super Bowl, a college football championship, or an NBA Finals title, NBA Finals title would be at the very bottom of that. But it's got to be. It's like, Cam, like, would it satiate me in terms of need for a championship if the Hawks won a title?
Oh, I wouldn't care.
Like it wouldn't satiate me. I need that Super Bowl. I need a college football natty, and I need another World Series. That's just sometime in my lifetime. Order. I would love to see all three of those.
Yeah, good luck.
Y'all can have the beef. You can have the beef. We'll come back. Final segment of Second Down. Get you ready for a big show on 3 and Out. Welcome back into Second Down right here on ESPN Radio. Christian Gokel alongside Cody Queen and Cam Urshery. Former Ware County and South Carolina star Ernest Jones set to join us coming up at 3 o'clock. He was the Rams' third-round pick, a hell of a linebacker there at South Carolina. So looking forward to catching up with him. We'll also catch up with Jamin Davis from Long County, drafted 18th overall by the Washington football team.
Cheddar, baby.
Oh, yeah. He can He can buy dinner. At this point, he's doing okay. So we'll dive into that. Also, Governor Kemp will sign Georgia's new name, image, and likeness law into effect this week. I believe he's doing that tomorrow, actually, at the University of Georgia, and it's set to go into effect coming up on July 1st. So Georgia joining the growing amount of states around the country that are signing in their own name, image, and likeness laws into effect. So we'll dive into that a little bit as well. Dive back into Waskar Enoa's crazy night for the Atlanta Braves. But Cam, right now, the only football lines you can bet on are the semifinals coming up in the FCS and Georgia Clemson on September 4th per FanDuel. Right now, Georgia is a -3 underdog. So if you're putting money on it today, Cinco de Mayo, who are you putting money on?
Give me my dogs, man. Give me my dogs by game-winning field goal. Give me them dogs, baby.
Yeah, right now you get Georgia as 3-point underdogs in their matchup with Clemson. But as we mentioned, Ernest Jones out of Ware County said to join us coming up at 3 o'clock. We appreciate y'all hanging out with us today. We'll be back with another edition of Second Down coming up tomorrow.